Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q1 FY 2023 earnings conference call of Suryoday Small Finance Bank Limited, hosted by Elara Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shweta Daptardar from Elara Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Michelle. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Elara Capital, we welcome you all to the earnings conference call of Suryoday Small Finance Bank Limited to discuss the Q1 FY 2023 earnings performance. From the esteemed management, we have with us today Mr. Bhaskar Babu Ramachandran, MD and CEO, Mr. Narayan Rao, Chief Services Officer, Mr. Kanish Choudhary, Chief Financial Officer, Ms. Radhika Gavde, Investor Relations. Without further ado, I now hand over the call to Mr. Bhaskar Babu Ramachandran for his opening comments, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Shweta. Good morning, everybody. On behalf of Suryoday Small Finance Bank, I extend a warm welcome to everyone to our Q1 FY 2023 earnings call. I hope everyone had a chance to go through our investor presentation for the quarter ended June 30th, 2022. The fiscal year 2023 has begun as the dawn of the new beginning for the world, as the effects of pandemic are receding and people are experiencing normalcy in the post-COVID era. The global economy is witnessing a paradigm shift in terms of macroeconomic factors such as inflation, interest rates, et cetera. The central bankers across the globe are worried about increasing inflation, which is primarily due to rise in crude oil and other commodity prices. The sharp inflation has further impacted interest rate scenario, which could impact growth in the near future. The Indian economy, however, has been intact, and amidst all these hurdles, the demand in the economy is intact and consumer spend in terms of festive spend, traveling, et cetera, is growing. The country is expected to have a normal monsoon, which augurs well for the rural economy. India is an integral part of the global financial ecosystem and cannot be immune from the macroeconomic problems evolving in the world economies. The surge in inflation has forced RBI to increase the repo rate and withdraw accommodative policy stance. RBI has recently increased the repo rates by 50 basis points to 4.9%, and the cumulative hike now stands at 90 basis points from 4% to 4.9%. We are happy to announce that our AUM growth has increased by 28.2% over the last year to 5,132 crores in Q1 FY 2023 on a year-on-year basis. There has been a healthy customer addition as well, with total customer base reaching 20.1 lakhs, a growth of 31.5% against the numbers in Q1 FY 2022. On the profitability side, the bank has turned profitable and reported a PAT of rupees 7.8 crores during the previous quarter, as compared to a loss of 47.7 crores in Q1 of FY 2022. Let me give some highlights on our operational metrics for the quarter Q1 FY 2023. The disbursements for the quarter has grown by 180% to 1,012 crores as compared to 360 crores in Q1 FY 2022. The bank continues to disburse loans to new customers throughout, emphasizing more in disbursing loans to our existing customers with regular repayment cycles and healthy credit history. The focus is on retaining our existing inclusive finance customers while also onboarding new customers in the micro as well as in the non-micro loan sector and expanding the affordable housing market portfolio. Our collection efficiency is improving sequentially on the back of opening of the economy and nearing normalcy. The bank's one EMI adjusted collection efficiency stood at 89% as on 30th June compared to 87% for the month ended 31st March 2022. The collections vertical is one of the most important verticals for the bank, and hence we have created a special team of 400 collection officers on a pan-India basis to focus on recovery from stressed and restructured book. Our gross advances grew by 28.2% to 5,132 crores on a year-on-year basis. As at end of June, inclusive finance comprises of 66.9% of the asset book, while affordable home loans, commercial vehicles and secure business loans comprise 8.8%, 6.7% and 4.7% of respectively. As a strategy, we have been increasing our secured finance portfolio gradually over the last few quarters. Going forward, Suryoday plans to maintain a portfolio mix of 55% and 45% ratio towards inclusive finance book and other secured loan segment. On the deposits front, our deposits, total deposit witnessed a growth of 18.2% to 4,019 crores as of 30th June 22. Retail deposits form 78.8% of our total deposits and the balance comprised of bulk deposits. Furthermore, 100% of our bulk deposits are non-callable in nature. CASA improved to 20.3%, which is in line with our granular retail strategy, excluding CDs of rupees 127 crores. On the borrowings front, we had at the end of June 22, we had 31.5% of our total liabilities, majority of which was from refinancing institutions. On the distribution front, Suryoday is spread across 564 branches, of which 92 branches were liability focused, while 359 branches are asset focused, and the balance comprised of rural centers. Through this branch network, bank has serviced 20.1 lakh customers, of which asset customers were 16.5 lakhs, and total liability customers were 15.5 lakhs. On the asset quality front, our GNPA as of 30th June 22 stood at 10% compared to the GNPA of 11.8% as on 31st March 22. The net NPA stood at 5% as against 6% in March 22. Our provision coverage ratio as of 30th June stands at 75.1%. Our delinquency in the portfolio has declined sequentially on the back of improved collections efficiency. Our PAR 90-plus portfolio as of 30th June stands at 6.4%. Our total standard restructured pool currently is 6% of the advances as of 30th June. Our collection efficiency on the restructured book and on the NPA book has been steadily rising, and we'll give the numbers as we go through the presentation. On the earnings side, our net interest income increased by 9.8% year-on-year to 135.6 crores in Q1 FY23. And net total income increased by 16.5% year-on-year to 169.6 crores. The net interest margin stood at 9.1% for Q1 FY23 compared to 7.6% for Q1 FY22. Our other income mainly included income from sale of investments. Cost of funds reduced to 6.4% in Q1 FY23 compared to 7.4% in Q1 FY22 and 8% in Q1 FY21. Cost to income during the same period moderated to 58.3% compared to 63.5% in Q1 of FY22, which was primarily due to the rise in income coupled with lower cost of borrowings. The company reported a profit of 7.8 crores in Q1 FY23. As on June 22, we continue to hold a floating provision of 91.3 crores in our books. We continue to maintain a high capital adequacy. As of 30th June, our capital adequacy of our bank was 36.4% as compared to 37.9% as of FY22. Tier 1 comprises of 33.5% and Tier 2 comprises of 2.9% of the overall Tier capital. There is significant thrust on digital front in Suryoday. Our digital transformation program, Pragyan, is on the verge of completion and expected to go live in August 22. The bank is migrating its core banking solution to Finacle, the industry leader in digital banking solutions, and has partnered with Kyndryl to support and manage the bank's data centers, infrastructure, application security, etc. The bank has partnership with three payment banks, Paytm, Airtel, Fino, for an end-to-end digital process for current accounts, savings accounts, sweep accounts, and also fixed deposit mobilization relationship with Fino Payments Bank. The bank is engaged with various fintechs for deposits, loan, investments, and insurance products with an entirely digital process and a superior customer experience. Talking about our new initiatives in FY23, Suryoday had launched Vikas Loan to offer an end-to-end digital service for our inclusive finance customer. This forms today 20% of the total inclusive finance portfolio. Collections of the EMI in this portfolio is through the customer savings account. 4.5 lakh customers have been identified for the Vikas Loan product. The other offering is small ticket fixed deposit with a minimum of 1,000 to customers who are customer service points with a turnaround time of 100 seconds. These products provide a seamless digital experience and saves time to the customer. We have opened as on date 4,800 deposits with a value of 7.5 crores through this channel. Just to summarize, our endeavor is to grow our loan book by approximately 25% during the current financial year. The company plans to increase the share of secured lending in the overall product mix. So we plan to achieve 400 crores of new business per month post Q2 of FY23. We see a clear growing opportunity in graduating our inclusive finance customers and are focused in terms of delivering customer experience through digital initiatives. We plan to expand our presence cautiously in new states and strengthen our foothold in the existing states. Going forward, we target a 40 crore pre-operating profit on a monthly basis from end of Q2 FY23, with focus in terms of reducing our NPA over the next 3 quarters. Thank you. Over from us. Over to you for any clarifications.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Priyanka Shah from KK Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I just have one question. What are the plans in terms of geographic expansion in FY23?
Thank you, Priyanka. We are currently present in 14 states, and our focus this year is in terms of deepening our presence in existing states rather than opening up newer geographical states. We have very marginal presence in states like Telangana, Rajasthan, and even Uttar Pradesh. We intend to increase our presence in these states with a little more branches than increasing our footprint in newer geographies.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Raj Joshi from Ace Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning. Sir, what is the overall collection efficiency as on 30th June?
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Hi, good morning. It is 89%.
And sir, we had inducted 400 collection officers. So how has been the experience so far?
Yeah, so this collection team was inducted to basically activate all customer accounts with irregular payments and which had slipped into NPA. We have been progressively activating the customer accounts and started our collections. We do about 6 crores of collections on an average. Our endeavor is to be able to reach 10 crores per month and above in about 2 months' time.
Okay. And sir, the RBI has increased the repo rate twice in the financial year so far. So right. Where do you see our cost of funds from 6.4 going forward?
So if you look at our overall funding mix, about half of the funding is coming from our deposits. So we expect that there will be marginal increase in our cost of funds in the latter half of the year from here on. But to a large extent, we don't expect our cost of funds to go beyond 25 basis points.
So you said 25 basis points, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Divendra Pandey from DP Advisory. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good morning. So I have a couple of questions. So my first question is on the overall microfinance market. So how is it shaping up?
What you are seeing across the industry is in terms of new customer addition has come down sharply to the industry. Company to company, bank to bank. Based on our strategy, there has been an increase in customer base. Currently, as we reported, we are seeing a strong momentum, including in terms of new to bank, not necessarily new to credit customers. While our focus has been in terms of both retaining our good existing customers with products like Vikas Loan, at the same time also for new customers in newer geographies where we entered last year, which includes Rajasthan and a little deepening in other states. Portfolio behavior of the new portfolio across the industry seems to be inching closer to 99% in terms of collection, predominantly driven by focused funding to existing well-paying customers who are paid through both COVID-1 and COVID-2, which at the industry level probably constitutes around 85% of their overall customer base, which existed as of, say, 31st March 2020. this is how the industry is panning out. Overall, I think with the new norms coming in, the focus will be in terms of retaining well-paying existing customer, and we will likely to see a reduction in the pricing as the customer starts making even the repayment through the digital mode. We currently have 20% of our portfolio in inclusive finance where the entire repayment is coming through the savings bank account of the customer. It still requires follow through in terms of calling them up before the due dates and asking them to remit money. When that becomes digital, the operational costs are likely to also come down. And this probably will be the trend you will see across many all the small finance banks and probably even through the microfinance institutions. So the industry is looking robust, but I think it's cautiously optimistic in terms of growth. And depending on the strategy of the each company, the focus will be either in terms of acquiring newer customers. But at the industry level, there is a tapering of new customer acquisition, as you can see from the data.
Got it, got it. And do you see any stress in the rural market, especially considering the sustained inflationary environment in last 2-3 quarters?
See, always usually any of the impacts happens with a lag in terms of inclusive finance segment. As far as Suryoday is concerned, we have 35-40% in terms of rural. The remaining majority of it is urban and semi-urban. We had the impact severely in terms of COVID 1 and 2 when the metros and urban centers were substantially impacted negatively. So probably it will be a balancing. But at this point of time, are we really seeing any stress in our books or in terms of data at the macro level for the new portfolio? It is not it.
Understood, understood. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Ashlesh Sonje from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. One question on slide number 18 of your presentation where you have given the portfolio at risk numbers. If I subtract the PAR 90 number of 6.7 from the PAR 1 plus number, I get a PAR 1 to 90 of around 6.7%. If you can you just tell me what part of it is in the restructured book so that I can look at it separately?
Which part of 1 to 90 is it?
Yeah, so I just want to look at PAR 1 to 90 X restructuring.
Do you have the data immediately? Hmm? 1% of the overall assets, and in terms of restructured, it will be around closer to 10% of the restructured book will be in 1 to 90. Let me also give you with the full data, but as I understand now is around 50 crores, and which 510 crores is the restructured book, of which around 300 crores is a standard restructured book. So 50, if you have to take it as a percentage of standard restructured book, it's around 15%. If you take it as the overall restructured book, it's around 10%.
Okay, so about 1% of the PAR 1 to 90 is restructured, is that right?
No.
1% out of
the overall portfolio.
Okay, okay, understood. Yeah. And secondly, sir, on the impact of the new guidelines for microfinance, just wanted to check where we are in that process and what impact we have seen in acceptance slash rejection rates.
The challenge is in terms of combining the entire household obligation, which the credit bureaus are working and expected to deliver by end of this month or latest by September mid. So currently we are taking out the credit bureau reports of the customer separately, and we have partially, substantially implemented it. We do believe that the full implementation will happen well before the end of August or beginning of September. But otherwise today it's a workaround in terms of we'll have to pull out the various bureau reports, combine it to find out the household obligation. And once the credit bureaus start giving a combined report of obligations as well as in terms of the income, it will become far more easier in terms of implementation. But otherwise it's a workaround and almost 90% is implemented.
Understood, sir. Very useful. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants to press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ms. Shweta Daptardar. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Michelle. So a couple of questions. If I look at our network presence, then it's actually spread across top industrial states, you know, be it Tamil Nadu, Maharashtra, MP or Karnataka. But if I look at the GNPA trajectory, it's remained slightly sticky for a while now. So could you explain, you know, now that the pandemic challenges are behind, what is it, you know, that's hampering? That's point number one. My second question is, if I look at your cost of funds, that have been improving. You also mentioned in your opening comments that, you know, we do not see much spike from your. So what are the weighted average cost and how do you see the mix tilting going forward? And one last question from my side is, so you mentioned in your opening comments that you are up for increasing your secured lending base. So what is the strategy like going forward to do so? Thank you.
Thank you, Shweta. One, in terms of our stickiness of our GNPA, which is at 11.8 and 10%, all of that is coming in from the pre-pandemic generated portfolio. We have strong presence in urban markets like Mumbai, Pune, which were far more impacted negatively during the pandemic. And what that did also is a little bit of a dislocation of the customer from their kind of their residences. So after pulling back, which is where we have put our 400 force, the primary intent of the specialized focus collection force is that it does not really give bandwidth to a regular relationship officer to also follow through with the customers where their chain of repayment has been broken. It requires more than a 3 or 4 visits. But what we are really seeing, which is very encouraging, is that the customers who have not even paid for 6 full months, with the continuous stretch, they started paying. Once in the microfinance segment, customers start paying even 3 installments regularly, even within 1 or 3 or 4 installments out of 5 or 6 installments which have fallen due. It is not likely to end up in a credit loss. It is likely to end up only with a delayed closure of the loan. So which is why we are really focusing on it. And we hope that the broad thing as we guided last time is over. And because the overall portfolio itself has shrunk to closer to 30%. The main thing we'll have to look at in our kind of business for a comparison for our portfolio is that the current portfolio for us only constitutes 60% after the post-pandemic. If this were to be a little higher at 70 or 75-80%, as a percentage, the GNPA would look lower than what it is looking at this point of time. We will do an organic resolution of the GNPA, and we are currently around close to 40% of our NPA customers are paying customers. They are not necessarily paying every month. They're paying for 2 installments out of every 3 months. They will continue to be tagged as NPA till such time all the installments are cleared or the loan comes to a close. But around 40% of that is what we are really focusing in terms of getting it, which is around of the 515 crores, closer to around 200 to 225 crores. Is a portfolio which will not end in credit loss, but will be recorded the timeline. In terms of our cost of borrowings, I'll ask Kanishka to take the call.
So, as we have indicated, our overall cost of funds today is around 6.4%, and it has held firm quarter on quarter. If you look at our funding book, our deposit and borrowing ratio is around 60:40. So given that particular mix and how we see the rates moving, we expect that our cost of funds will be in the range bound by around 25 bits more.
While our current cost of funds is at 6.4, the incremental cost of even in mobilization currently is around 6.6. So not likely to kind of shift dramatically, much, not certainly more than 25 bits overall if at all. And in terms of your question, in terms of secure loan portfolio, we have launched micro home loan, which is a space which is reasonably vacant, which is between 5 lakh to 10 lakh of funding. Given we see many of our affordable home loan companies have moved to ticket sizes over and closer to 8 lakh plus. And predominantly this is coming out of our inclusive finance customer segment, not necessarily our existing customers. Currently the run rate is around 5 crores per month, and it's on an acceleration of a crore per month increase disbursements. We are seeing this business as a 25 to 30 crore disbursements per month, granular, average ticket size probably less than around 7 lakhs, with multi-income streams in the family, and in a small portfolio of 22 crores, well, obviously this is not a correlation to increase it, but usually the delinquencies are very closer to zero than anything significant in this portfolio because of the intensity of collections and the customers having substantially good track record in the inclusive finance segment and probably in a little bit of retail assets. So we see that as a growth engine, closer to around 30 crores per month towards the end of the financial year. Our regular home loans and secured business loan portfolio currently is clocking around 45 crores per month, average of around 45 to 50. The intent is to also increase that disbursement to around closer to 75 to 80 crores in 2 quarters from now. So combination of around 110 crores would come in from affordable home loan, secured business loan, as well as from micro home loan. That's how we are. And with the same, if the disbursements in microfinance loans were to be around 350 crores, and that disbursement were to be around 100 crores, not including other products like digital partnership products, the portfolio mix, so what we have kind of projected in terms of 55-45, will happen. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Renish, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just a clarification. I'm not individual investor. I'm from ICICI Securities.
Thank you.
Hi, sir. Good morning. So a couple of questions from my side. So one is on the liability fee. Okay. So, I mean, if you look at the deposit profiles for last 7-8 quarters, it has been static around 38 billion or. And even if you look at the liability branch addition, so practically we have not added a single branch since COVID onset. So, sir, what is our medium-term outlook in terms of the, branch expansion on the liability side? And does it make sense after converting into SFB, we are still, let's say, 40% funded by the borrowing?
Sure. In terms of what we are trying to do now is converting many of our branches into composite branches, which means that including in the 92 branches, around 26 are composite branches. We are making more of our inclusive finance branches, which are infrastructurally ready for kind of having liabilities business. Instead of just focused only on liabilities, they will have the two divisions within that, one focused on liabilities and one on the assets. So intent is to really increase it to at least by 50 branches during the financial year. We will do around 10 per quarter or even including 10 to 15. In terms of our borrowings, we have the conscious strategy of managing an ALM in the formative years of the bank. While most of our borrowings at this point of time come in from NABARD and SIDBI, and the cost of funds very close to our overall weighted average cost of funds, except for the SLTRO, which took at 4%. Yeah, other than that, it's marginally just about the same with a liability period of around 3 to 5 years. So as a strategy, we decided to have, from a behavioral point of view, all deposits get converted into behavioral contracts and time bound. But as far as the bank when you're concerned, we said 50% of our book would be in terms of deposits and gradually increase it to 100%. And refinance, we'll have consciously as a strategy of approximately around closer to 30%. So now as the deposit base is growing, and we also, that gave us a space to reduce our reliance on bulk deposits. Currently, bulk deposits constitute only 20%. If we have to really increase our, reduce our CD ratio or increase the deposits, one opportunity would be in terms of tapping the bulk deposits which have gone slow over the last 3 or 4 quarters. But our focus would be granular term deposits from the existing inclusive finance customers as well as converting our branches into composite branches. So you will see around closer to 50 more branches becoming liability focused in this financial year.
Yeah, but sir, I mean, if you look at the some of the peer SFPs, we have not yet seen the MFI branches contributing meaningfully to the deposit base. Let's say whatever branches we have converted so far, if you can just highlight, what is the average balance in those accounts versus the balances in the typical liability branch setup.
Any branch, I don't have a overall number, I'll circulate it back, but of the 26 branches, composite branches, there will be no significantly different from only liability focused branches because the team is separate, which is focusing on the deposits. They just happen to operate from the same centers.
Got it.
But any branch where we open as a composite branch, within a year on an average, they contribute around closer to 15 to 20 crores of deposits, around 70 to 80% coming in from term deposits and around 15% coming in from CASA.
Got it. Okay. So, and the last question again is on the asset quality side. So, even if we, let's say, keep aside the MFI book wherein we have witnessed a sequential decline, but rest of the segments we are still witnessing sequential increase in the gross NPA number, be it SBL, housing loan. I mean, rest of all the products have witnessed sequential increase. And this is now like 9 quarters after the COVID. So if you can throw some light, what is happening in the rest of the portfolio would be helpful, sir.
In the other portfolios, it has been pretty steady and declining, except for a spike in the month of June out of a few large accounts getting time stamped as NPA while they are in the 60 to 90 for the last 3-4 months. But it has spiked out in terms of June. As of July, there has been a pullback in the other products other than JLG. So we are confident that the GNPA levels will be back to less than March levels in the other products. In a JLG, we will have to have a residue portfolio as always guided. So that we are in the process of partial recovery and part of that will go towards trade plus. But however, we currently are sitting on of the four, our entire non-paying portfolio, so to say, is around closer to 400 crores, which is the customer has not made any payment in the last 3 months, which we are still not written off. Against this, we are having a provisioning of around 325 crores. The gap on that basis of non-paying to paying, that non-paying could also be customers who are not at NPA, not necessarily they are only NPA customers. The gap is around 75 crores, is uncovered provision as we speak now. In terms of non-JLG products, we do not see any increase that could happen over the March levels by September. There was certainly a spike in the month of, in the quarter of June.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So just last data keeping question, what is the total write-off we have done in Q1?
We have done a total of 131 crores in this particular quarter, and it's entirely in the JLG book. This basically represents customers who have not been paying us for more than 6 months.
And if you can share the FY21, FY22 write-off number, if you have it with you right now.
We wrote off around 218 crores in FY22 full year.
218 crores?
Yes, 218.
And 21?
So total write-offs across the 2 years will be around 340 crores.
Okay, which is including current quarter number or?
No, this is up to March. So the total is 340 and another 130 of the current quarter.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shweta Daptardar for closing comments.
Thank you. On behalf of Elara Capital, we thank all and the management of Suryoday Small Finance Bank to give us the opportunity to host the earnings call. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of Elara Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.